Do you think that Charis is pulling a trick that he learned from Jelko Obradovic? We'll discuss that and much more on this week's episode of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. My name is Frankie Sachs, and it's good to be back after a few episodes that I missed. And I'm joined, as always, by Vasiliki Karamouza. How are you doing, Vasiliki?
Hello, hello, Frankie. Long time no see.
And also by... Wait. Where's Javi?
I don't know. Maybe he's hiding from the paparazzis. Did you see the numbers the EuroLeague and Friends made in Spain with Pedro Martinez made? I think that's the reason...
Maybe the reason is because of his abysmal scores the last two rounds in the Fantasy Challenge.
Maybe that too. Yeah, more, that could be a good reason.
More likely that. Yeah. So not to toot my own horn, but I had two pretty good rounds. You had two okay rounds. But you know who had some really good rounds?
Yes, I do know. And again, one more time, I've lost count. Our private league winners are coming from Greece. We have two, round 33 and round 34. It's Vasilis Papagiorgiou and Nikos Griparis. You can see their scores. Guys, congratulations. Keep representing Greece. We have a strike going on. Let's keep it alive.
It's very impressive. Good. Congratulations to all the excellent Greek Fantasy Challenge players.
I'm assuming by the end of the season, a Greek must win. It won't be me, but at least it will be someone from my country.
Justin, it might have been you if you had gotten your coaches right.
I'm having my coaches right, except from last round. But I did have my coach right for three or four rounds in a row.
Five. I checked. It was five.
Five. Wow. I'm impressed with myself.
Yes. I'm a little bit nervous about your coach this week, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, sure. Let's see what happened, though. Well, I have a winner, and his name is Matthias Lechor. I got him right from the jump. After the first game he played, I won and bought him. The first game that he was on my team, it was so-so, but the last two, he has been very stable, amounting more than 18 fantasy points. I think I've seen enough. Matthias is really helping Panathinaikos, and he's really helping my team because I finally have two strong centers, which is also new to me.
Having two strong centers is a blessing. I was nervous going with Lesor just coming back from the injury. And I still don't think he's 100%, which means that there's more to come, hopefully.
Yes, that's true. That's true. What about your winner?
So my winner is Elio Kobo, as I try and always pick my winner, somebody who took advantage of a situation and made the most of it. So no Mike James has been no problem for Elio Kobo. He's been doing it all, scoring as well as usual, but the last two games, 13 assists, not combined, each time 13 assists, zero turnovers. That gives him an incredible floor. So if he's making threes and scoring, that just he's doing it all. He's not the only guy, because your guy, Matt Strazel, has been doing quite well also with Mike James out. They're just taking advantage of the opportunities, but Okobo, simply outstanding. So I got to call him my winner for the last two rounds for sure.
I got to interview Strazel before the game against Panathinaikos. I didn't mention he is on my fantasy team, but he is on my fantasy team. So if he's watching it right now, Matt, you're on my team.
I think he should be on most teams right now. There's a handful of guys right now that are killing it compared to their price, and he's one of them. And as long as Mike James is out, those two guys are absolutely maximizing their value.
Yes, true. But we have some losers as well.
Yes, they're not everyone is maximizing their value.
Yes. What about your loser?
Oh, so mine is Kevin Punter. It's been a rough run for Punter. Since round 29, we had 27 points. It's been all downhill. The last five games, he's twice had negative PIRs, and his average is a PIR in the five games is 2.2. His price has gone from 15.1 credits to 12.5. And the thing that surprises me more than anything else, 5.5% of fantasy owners still own him. He's in a rough stretch, and I would be careful to have him on his team. And it's not going to get better if you think, oh, well, he's hit rock bottom. Not so fast. This week, Barca plays Žalgiris on the road. Žalgiris has allowed the fewest fantasy points to guards all season. And Punter had a PIR 5 the last time he played Žalgiris, and that was the home game. So you've been warned. The 5.5% of you that still have Punter, I've warned you.
Okay, maybe they're diehard Barca fans and they want to stick by their superstar, so I don't blame them.
I still blame them.
You're harsher than me. Okay, let's agree to that.
Okay.
Well, my loser is Nando De Colo. He had two pretty good games, I'd say, after his he came back. He didn't play in the game against Olympiacos because it was an a game from the past that he wasn't registered to Fener. After that, he had two very good games, but then again, last time Fener lost to Žalgiris, and Nando wasn't his usual self. He had three turnovers and zero assists, which is very unusual for him. That's why his PIR was very low, and I think that's one of the reasons why Fener lost that game.
For sure, although I don't want to be too critical of De Colo. He is a mid-season signing. The chemistry isn't 100% there, and that's a guard situation very much in flux with two other superstars in the backcourt, Devin Hall, who was hurt and back and hurt, and it's hard to know exactly what to expect there. Personally, I had Taylen Horton Tucker for a little while there, and I moved away also because I just think the guard situation is in flux. It's nothing about the talent of any of those players, not Baldwin, not De Colo,
No.
not Horton Tucker, but finding the right mix, the chemistry, the minutes played, Hall back, it's all too much for me. So I'm out on those guys.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to guess which one of these guys is going to have the best game, and it's not very easy because it can come like in this. They have a
100%.
run, and then they are the best guard, and then they play more minutes, and they are not the guard that you have on your team.
And fa early foul trouble can change everything.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
true.
all. I mean, the fantasy challenge is nothing. It's definitely not a science, right? It's more luck than anything else. But we're trying to make the most of it. For me, there's too many red flags in the Fenerbahçe backcourt, and in general, the team has not played so well
Yeah.
recently. I don't know that we could blame all of that on De Colo, but I will respect your decision to call him a loser.
Well, when you pinpoint it like that, sounds worse than it is, but it's just a game, and we're just saying a few things.
We're just saying a few things. That's right.
Let's go watch our question marks.
All right. So mine is Jimmy Clark from Maccabi, who comes off the best game of his career. He's a young guy, and you have to ask, is that a turning point? And maybe it is. He plays for his coach, Oded Kataş, who's a point guard. Clark's been just over a year. I've spoken about him, I think, here before about the upside. The question is, so he had 23 points and 10 assists against Dubai last week, a PIR of 27, and he shot 1 for 7 from deep. Just imagine if two more of those threes goes in, that's a monster
Yeah.
number. However, that was only the second time he's had a PIR of 20 all season. I don't know. Has Clark become the Maccabi go-to guy? Is it still going to be a mix and match with Tamir Blad and what to expect? So it's a question. But on the other hand, Maccabi is red hot, so
Yeah.
I tend to roll with Clark here, but there's a question mark about it. He's no sure thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a next factor. Like
Absolutely.
he can have a great game that will help the team, but it doesn't mean the other times he's not helping the team. He's just not the superstar of the team.
No, he helps also with his defense, with his athleticism. He's a
Yeah.
player you have to respect. But from a fantasy point of view, is he a player that who's a must-have? I'm not so sure. On the other hand, his price is fair. If you're going to miss on somebody, you can't miss on somebody that you're paying 14, 15, 16 credits for.
Yes, true, true. I have a
Who is your
question
question
mark.
mark?
Yes, I have a question mark myself. It's Carson Edwards. Reportedly, Dusko Ivanovic lost his position because there was a tension, a rift between him and Carson Edwards, the minutes he was playing him and stuff like that, because Virtus is leading in the Italian league. Okay, in EuroLeague, they didn't make it the quiet decision they hoped for, but these things happen. So how's Carson Edwards gonna respond right now? Is he gonna have a monster game now that there's a new coach or not? I'm not sure.
And they have a double week.
Yeah.
So what I would tell the wise fantasy players is check out what happens in the early part of the week. They're playing Paris, I believe, on Tuesday,
Yes.
and then Milan. No, Paris is playing
No,
Milan.
no. They
Paris.
played
Who are they
against
playing? Who are
the
they
game.
playing?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I don't know either. But whoever Virtus is playing, they are playing on Thursday again. They're playing on Friday. They have a Friday
Yeah.
game. So yeah, check out what he does Tuesday. You don't have to make your lineups until Wednesday. We have a Wednesday game this week, and that'll give you a hint as to is Carson Wedgwood someone who you should have or someone you should be wary of.
Okay, let's move on. We have injury news concerns and stuff like that. Why don't you start with Maccabi?
Okay, so Gore Levy has something with his meniscus, and he's out indefinitely. Could be for the rest of the regular season, which is coming up on us. Gore Levy is somebody who I strongly recommended here a few weeks ago, and then he did have one real nice breakout game, especially for his price of 4 credits. So I will pat myself on the back there that I had that right and I gave good advice. But now with him out, it creates an opening of Maccabi at forward, where they really only have 3.5 healthy forwards. And how do they have half a forward? Because one of them is Roman Sorkin, who spends half his time playing center. And another forward they have is Will Raymond, who is more of a defense energy guy. So that leaves you with Jalen Hoard and Ose Brachet, who are playing really well. Hoard is a guy who I think I like just a little bit more because he's more of a at the four, he'll get a few more lobs and a few more tip-ins and a few more dump-offs than Brissett, who's playing more on the perimeter, and he's also a bit more expensive. But I think with Levy out, that any three of those players, Sorkin or Brissett or Hoard, are people to consider just because they're getting more minutes. There's nobody else. It's not a matter of somebody getting those, they just don't have any more at the four, so or at the three, even unless they play three guards. So look at those guys, and I think there's value to be had there, and you should consider it.
Let me put the things in perspective. In your notes, when you mentioned Gurlava being injured, you said grab Jalen Hurd. So
Yep.
just let me get the facts straight. Gurlava costs 4 credits and Jalen Hurd costs 15 credits. So how is that even going to work?
Well, I think you have it's not a straight switch, but since we're a week of unlimited trades, you can rebuild your team. And I think that Hoard's value is quite good, even at that price, or Brissett if you want to go that way. But Hoard, who was my captain last week when a lot of people had Musa in that game as their captain, and he had
Yeah, I don't know who you're referring to. I don't know. No one that had Musa as their captain.
Yes, right. Well, I know quite a few people who had Musa as their captain. But when I saw that Levy was out, I said, "Oh, Hoard is the it's the, you know this is an opportunity for Hoard." And he had a 25, so with that captain and the win, 55 points, I was quite happy with that. I just think that he's somebody to target. You know, he's expensive. I understand people don't want to do it, but if you're looking for somebody who I think can beat his projections right now, I think Hoard is the guy. I also think Brissett is the guy. Sorkin's maybe his price has gone up a lot this season, so maybe more than I'm a little bit more nervous about that. But it's not that Levy is out and these guys can get Levy's production. It's that Levy's leave is out. There's no one else to take those minutes. I mean, if they get into foul trouble in the front court, there's nobody else. They have to go three guards. They have to play with two centers. There's just nobody else. So when you're in that situation, that's the fantasy dream. When you know you're taking a guy who's locked into his role, locked into big minutes, and there's no way for Horde not to play big minutes. I can't imagine a scenario where something goes wrong and you're playing Brissett 35 minutes and Raymond 35 minutes, and it doesn't seem likely. So I strongly recommend Horde.
I'm convinced.
Okay, good. All right, so we always at this point seem to have all season there seems to be some sort of injury report about Panathinaikos.
That's the truth. It's either Panathinaikos or Olympiakos. There's always something coming from Greece. Right now, Panathinaikos has a lot of question marks because Jerian Grant had a fraction to his hand, and Nigel Hayes-Davies didn't practice on Sunday because he had some calf soreness. The good thing is that Panathinaikos is playing a domestic derby against Olympiakos on Monday, so maybe that can reveal a little bit about their situation, whether they're going to play or if they're rested, and Coach Ataman made a comment after that. So be prepared to follow the news coming from Greece. If there's something super duper wow, I will, of course, tweet about it, and also we will answer.
And I will retweet it.
Okay, perfect. So more people can see it.
Yeah.
And we will be answering the YouTube comments as well. So just keep an eye on because there's a lot going on right now and we don't have many answers.
If Grant is out, do you think it adds value to any specific player?
Kendrick Nunn? Okay, TJ Short's got a few minutes and was really good against Monaco, but somewhat that was an easy game for Pana because it was the second game of a double round week. Monaco is shorthanded, so the players were more tired. So Panathinaikos could take advantage of that. But I think at this point of the season, none is none. You know, if you want to have none on your team, now it's the time.
End of season none is the none to have.
Yes, another nickname for none.
Yes.
We've had a
All
long
right.
time to do that.
Yes. All right. Well, let's look ahead to this week's games. So as I mentioned before, we have on Tuesday the game to be aware of, which is Virtus Bologna against Paris. It has no bearing on fantasy, but it does give you a little bit of knowledge for what to think of later in the week. And then Wednesday, we have the early one game, which can affect things. Anything you like? The Wednesday game is Bayern and Fenerbahce. Anyone you like there?
I think if you have any player from that game, you should put him as a captain just in case because like it's a three turn round. But I think probably that's the time for Fener to start winning again. They have four straight losses, two in the Turkish League and two in the EuroLeague. They lost the last double round. So maybe it's time they start winning again.
Yeah, if they want to finish the season in first place, although maybe they don't want to finish in first place because, as we all know, no team that finished the regular season in first place has won the EuroLeague in the current format. So
Yeah, it's a
maybe
little bit of a
Saras is
curse.
behind the scenes, trying to massage that second place.
I don't know. They don't seem like they do it in purpose. It's not like they seem like they don't care about the games. They fight back when they are behind with double digits. So maybe something else is going on right now.
We will see. We'll see how they do this week against Bayern. And then the action really hits on Thursday. The first four games on Thursday all have massive postseason implications. We've got Žalgiris against Barca and Apoel against Panathinaikos. All four teams have 20 wins. So the winners there take a massive step forward. The losers there start to worry about the play-in. And then we have Dubai against Monaco, which is critical for the play-in because Dubai is in 12th, Monaco's in 10th. So there's a lot. And then there's the Serbian Derby. So it's a great Thursday of basketball. What game do you like the most? Are you most, well, I guess we're all for the atmosphere excited about the derby, but from a fantasy point of view, which is the game that you think matters the most?
I think we already mentioned a couple of Monaco players that, because of the situation, have more fantasy value. So, yeah, okay, maybe that on a fantasy perspective. But did you see what Carlick Jones said before the Serbian Derby?
No, I don't think so.
He said that we want nothing more than kick Red Star out of the play-ins and playoffs right now. So I think we should all bring our popcorns and watch the Serbian Derby.
When you have teams with rich history, and they fall in a rough season, for them it's a big win to hurt somebody else. It's certainly a
Yeah.
rival, but all of them they play, down the stretch. None of these strong teams, the traditional teams, are giving it up. So, yeah, Partizan's won five in a row, and it's a team to really be feared here down the stretch, especially with Carlick Jones playing great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And they
that.
did win against Valencia last week in the overtime. They didn't give
Yeah.
up.
No, they're a team to be feared. So, yeah, it's this. It looked like a month ago that the top 10, the bottom 10, it was clear cut, and that we didn't have to worry about it. But no, Maccabi's right there, Dubai's right there. This could become quite an interesting race in the 8 to 12 spots. Even Milan is right there also. So there's a lot to follow. Exciting times.
Yeah, always exciting times, but more exciting are our trades because it was in a limited trade week.
So yeah, unlimited trades. It took me a while to try and figure out my first. At first, I knew it was unlimited trades. When I went to rebuild my team, I wasn't even taking advantage of it that much. In the end, I've only made six trades. But since I wasn't on last week, I'll just go over my whole team for everybody, and I'll go in order. So I have the only player I have on Wednesday is Oscar da Silva, who I'm putting as my captain because he's my only guy playing on Wednesday. And then I have a full lineup of Thursday players. So at center, I'm doing what I like to do is having two centers in the same day. So there's no question. I don't have to risk. There's Cabangele, who's been, I think, might be my second most expensive player, and Asiel Rivero, who at 6.7 credits is a player I like a lot and very cheap, and There's low risk, big reward type player, and those are my favorite. Low risk is what I go for. And then I've got three guards. I've got Carlig Jones. I've got Matt Strazel, and I have Jimmy Clark. And my forward is Jalen Hurd, of course. I don't know who my captain would be on Thursday. Probably Carlig Jones, but I could go with Hurd. And then I have for the Friday games, I've got Sasha Vezenkov, of course, and Thomas Wertel, who I think is someone that everybody should be considering. And also Frisch from Baskonia against Real Madrid. He's been playing really nice, really well lately, and he's only 5.4 credits. And as a little bonus, everyone should know the high school that I went to was called the Frisch School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I do like Clement Frisch a lot. He has stepped up big time lately for Bosconia, so I like that pick. I'm not so sure about Hasiel Rivero. I'm not convinced yet. He was out almost all season. He was injured in the first game, and he just returned 2 3 rounds ago, so I'm not exactly convinced. And there's the derby, so that's my question mark, pretty much.
But you're getting me at 6.7 credits, and I have him alongside another big time
Yeah,
player.
okay.
I don't expect Ken Magella to implode. So really, the shot with Rivero was just, at some point I look at all my Thursday players, and whoever's the weakest link comes out. Now I don't have to worry because I have two centers. If Rivero gives me 20, great. And if he doesn't, then what did I lose? I mean, we're gonna have at the end of the bench, you're gonna have some cheap players anyway. So.
Okay.
That's my reasoning. If I'm not recommending him to tell people, oh, this is a guy who's going to give you monster numbers. Like I
No, okay.
said, low risk, possibly big reward.
Possibly. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't like unlimited trades either. They get me a little bit confused because I don't want to change the whole structure of my team. So I made very
I know
minor.
because you've been working all year to build the chemistry with these guys, right? I
Yes,
mean,
you know how it works.
yes,
They trust me, I trust them. It's a
yeah,
two-way street.
that's right.
So I made very minor changes and I'm not 100% satisfied with how my team looks right now. I think my bench is a little bit weak, but I will tell you what did I do. I got Musa out because not because I had him as my captain and he had a terrible game, not because of that. Gurlava was injured. Dalton Holmes, John Di Bartolomeo, and my coach are all out. So in their place, I got Oscar Brissett instead of the guy that you suggested because he was cheaper and he also had almost a double double, and he has been averaging some great numbers lately. And I got Nemanja Nedović because of the backcourt situation in Monaco. I got Ognjen Dobrić because he's Serbian and there's a Serbian derby. And these players typically can give you a little extra, and he was very cheap. And Leo Cavalier at the end of my bench as well. So let's see how my team looks right now. I had the same core of guys for a couple of rounds right now. I have Kabengele, I have Elijah Bryant, I have Kendrick Nunn, I have Matt Strazel, Matthias Lechor, and Sasa Vezenkov is the only player that I have playing on turn three, and maybe that's a mistake, but I didn't want to give up Nunn or Bryant or Kabengele or Lechor. So I don't know what to do exactly right now.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that team, and Dobrić only costs 4 credits.
Credits.
Nedovic is only 6.2, but there, I would look for somebody. I believe Valencia plays on Friday. Maybe go for De La Rea or somebody for some upside, just in case you need it. On there's you're giving up on two roster spots already, who guys are definitely not going to play.
Yeah.
So that's my critique. Not anything about the players or the choices themselves, but it's too turn two heavy, and that gives you no chances to correct if somebody has a bad game.
But who should I sacrifice? They're all such good players.
So I think Nedovic, just because
Okay,
he's
yeah.
not starting anyway, so there's not that you're only giving him half. Also, I'd rework it that you would go with the double centers like I had it, so that if for
Yeah.
some reason Camigella has an off game, which I hope he doesn't because I have him in my lineup, but just having two, then you can play with that. Maybe Nedovic. I'm not sure who else to sacrifice, but like I said, there are guards that are playing a little bit for 6.2 credits, and I'd rather have one of those guys playing on Friday than Nedovic, who, no matter how well he does, you're only getting half of it anyway.
Yeah,
There's
okay.
no upside there.
Okay. I will rework it on my mind and see if I can get something different.
All right, now we have to talk about something which makes me nervous. We have to talk about your pick for head coach.
Unfortunately,
Yeah, you go, you
yeah,
go.
unfortunately, I was gonna say as well for you. My coach is your coach, and it's none other than Oded Kataz. Reason one, Maccabi has won 7 out of their last 8 games in the EuroLeague, and now they're playing against Efes. So if they want to squeeze in the top 10, that's the perfect opportunity. They can't afford to lose to one of the teams that are at the bottom of the standings. So if they can keep their streak alive and keep winning games, I think Gattas is a very solid option right now.
I think not just, I think Katash will be my head coach for the rest of the regular season. They should be favored in every game, remaining game of their remaining games for fantasy purposes. They're playing only against teams that are below them in the standings. They have one outstanding game against Hapoel, the Derby. But that was a postponed game, so that won't be as part of a part of the game. So given that, I expect, and the price, right? He's
Yeah.
4.6 credits, so having him instead of somebody who I might be a little bit more confident, let's say, but if you can gain 3, 4 credits for use of a player, I think it's worth it. And I do think Maccabi should win most of those games, certainly be the favorite. So that's why I'm getting him. The only reason not to have Katash is because Vasiliki is picking him also, and that causes me some concern here. But before this week, before last week, the last round, she had 5 in a row right. So maybe she'll get this one right, and we can all live happily ever after.
But you know, I was thinking that Dubai couldn't lose the game against Maccabi if they want to have their postseason hopes alive. They lost to Panathinaikos in a very high-scoring game, so I thought now they need to do it, and they didn't.
I know yeah, they needed to do it and they didn't, right? That's
They
the whole
were
thing.
up
But
15 points.
I know, but Maccabi needed that game also, right?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go with either of those coaches, because both of them need it. So that's why I got 20 points at coach and you got minus
Minus
10.
five,
Minus five.
10,
Okay.
something
Yeah.
like that. I don't
Yes, big difference there. All right. Do you know what my favorite part of the show is?
Of course, I know it's get featured, get rewarded.
This is my favorite. So yes, let's jump right into it. And Vasiliki, we have a question for you, and it
Okay.
is from Atahan Ceylan or Ceylan. I'm
Okay.
not sure. But
I
all
guess
right.
that's from Turkey.
Yes. And the
Okay.
question is, Šarić will crash the leader's curse this year by being a champion after being the leader in Çağrışım to us. I guess he's saying that Fenerbahçe, he's predicting that Fenerbahçe will finish the regular season in first place and then break the curse by winning the league. What
Yeah.
do you say about that?
I think that's very plausible to happen. Okay. 10 straight years, no team that has ever finished at the top of the standings has won the EuroLeague. Maybe it's time for that thing to end. And I don't think that Saras is superstitious at all. So maybe he doesn't even think about that. For quite some time, I thought that Fener was one step ahead of everybody in the competition because Olympiacos had some losing games at the beginning of the season. Pana didn't meet the expectation earlier on. So I thought that Fener was one step ahead. Now they're losing as well, so I'm not exactly sure what to expect, but it's very possible that it will happen.
I'll tell you a story I heard from Oded Kataş a few years ago, that when he was a player at Panathinaikos playing under Željko Obradović, they were having a great season. It was the season they ended up becoming champions. And at some point, 2/3 way through the season, in a Greek league game, he manufactured a crisis. He made odd substitutions. He created a situation where they would lose the game because
Yeah.
they were doing too well. And by creating that crisis, then they had something to overcome. And then they were able to peak at the right time. I don't think that Charis is necessarily manufacturing crisis there, although he also played for Jelko. But having if you're going to lose a couple games, now is the perfect time. Have the crisis, get over it, hit the playoffs on the right foot. I'm not so sure that I agree that Fenerbahce will A, at this point, if they lose another game, I don't think they're going to finish in first place, and B, that they're the clear favorite to win the championship because there's a lot of talented teams out there that come the playoffs, come the Final Four, a lot can happen. But I think that for Fenerbahce, if there's a time to have a losing streak, this is the right time.
Saras is definitely getting a lot of things out of Obradovic as a coach. Maybe that's another one because, Coach Zeliko was very famous about manufacturing crisis when he was in Panathinaikos to shift the dynamic of the team. So maybe this is it.
Maybe. All right, my question comes from Vytenis Kalauskas, I guess from Lithuania. Hi, Vytenis. If Karlik had been healthy the whole season, Partizan with Jelka would have been in the top 10. Yep,
True.
probably.
Yes.
Probably. Yep. We are seeing that he is absolutely a difference maker, an elite point guard. You can just see it over the last month since he's back from the injury. That's why he's on my fantasy team, of course. But yeah, I think it would have been a much different season. He's one of those difference makers, and it's sad for Partizan. And I believe his contract is up this summer, and he will be a hot name for a lot of teams this summer.
In Serbia, they say the negotiations are going well because the team wants to keep him. And supposedly he wants to stay there as well. So maybe next season.
Although not with Jelko.
Nah, not with Zeljko this time for sure.
All right, and as I said before, that was my favorite part of the show. I love this. If you want to be part of a future episode by sending us questions or comments, do so now. Scan the QR code here, and join us and get rewarded. You can ask us questions, make bold predictions, send us some stories, share your strategies, whatever it is, send it in, and every month somebody wins a prize. So I would do it if I were you. And then, guys, thank you for joining us this week.
As I said, keep an eye on news from Panathinaikos side and everything else that might happen because there are a lot of ABA League games involving Dubai, Red Star and Partizan on Monday as well. So we will be answering all your comments on YouTube and we miss Javi, but it's good to have you back, Frankie.
Yes, it's good to be back. And that's great advice, guys. Don't make your teams too early. And I think Veselik and I reserve the right to make our changes until Wednesday because a lot can happen with a lot of games still going on. Injury reports, so be careful checking on that. Before we go, I'd like to give a shout out to my 16-year-old daughter, Neely, who passed her driver's license test on
Wow,
Friday.
congrats.
And to all the rest of you who didn't pass your driver's test this week, let me just ask you, let me thank you for watching the podcast. It's so good to be back. I've missed it the last month. And as always, share your comments with us on social media and on YouTube and like the podcast, share the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. And hopefully we will be back here next week after some exciting games.
Bye-bye.